don't know about how you have been used to touch other people, take the time, even if it's in a grocery line. You know, be kind to somebody. You don't have to start telling them about the Adventist church and how great it is, and we don't drink, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. Mm-mm. Just be kind. A smile sometimes is what somebody needs. I'm a big hugger. You know that there was a king in Bavaria who decided, it's a true story. Sometimes I tell stories, but this is the true one. This king in Bavaria who wanted to see what language children would develop if they were left totally alone. So he put out an edict to his kingdom. Any child below 2 years of age may come to the castle and I will raise them. So, of course, the people got really excited. Oh, well, you know, my child's going to be raised in the castle. And all these kids came in, and he said to the nurses, I want you to keep them clean and feed them. You are not to touch them, pick them up when they cry. You are to feed them, and that is all. Do not even speak to them. Every single child died. We need to be touched. We need to love. We need to reach out. Even if it's just to help somebody walk across the street, take a few minutes. You have the time. Time is one thing that you do have. Another thing I hear is, oh, I really don't have any special talents or ability. You know, I'm just a homemaker, or I'm just a doctor, or I don't care what you are. The Holy Spirit's given you something. God's given you a gift. You've been forgiven. You've got salvation. You've got something to talk about. And don't be afraid or think that you have to have, you know, I went through this whole thing with money, with position, with adulation, with all, and it means nothing, absolutely nothing. The only thing that matters to me is to be able to share God with other people. And when you start doing it, you will be amazed at how it becomes easy. It's a wonderful thing. Every morning when I pray, I say, God, please send me a divine appointment. Send me one person whose life I can touch. When I was preaching in Dubai, I said, Holy Spirit, please use me to touch the life of one Muslim. I did the meetings. And this lady came up and she said, you know, what are you doing this afternoon? It was a Sunday. And I said, nothing. And she said, well, could I come by and pick you and Peach up? And I said, sure. So she came by and she brought this other girl with her. This girl, you could feel the negativity. She was a Muslim. In the Muslim religion, 80% of the women are going to go to hell. 20% are going to make it because they're going to be suicide bombers. The rest of them are worth nothing. They are sex objects. She had no friends. She hated her job. She was from Iran, and she was living in Dubai, and so she had no parents, no support system, nothing. And we talked and talked and talked and talked and talked, and she said to me, I wish I had a God like you do. And I said, you do. And we started corresponding. After maybe a year or two, we were going to one of our trips to India, and she wrote to me, and she said, I have been praying that, listen to this, I have been praying that God would use you to touch one person and change their lives like you changed mine. I saw her one time in Dubai, once. And the Holy Spirit used her because of a willingness to speak out and to share God. Another thing I hear is, oh, you know, my health is not too good. I'm too old. Too old? I don't think so. Abraham was pretty old when he did some pretty miraculous things. And I'm glad you got that one. We're never too old. It's, age is a matter of, it's in your mind. You can't do it because you're too sick. Does your telephone work? Can't you pick it up and call somebody who's sick? Are you on the computer? Can you send a note? Don't know how to work a computer? How about having somebody buy some get well cards? You can do that. You don't want to get out of your house? How about baking a cake? Don't ask me to do it because you'd really be disappointed. As Peach will tell you, I'm not a baker. But those of you who are, do. Make a pot of stew. Make some extra beans. Do something to reach out. When Peach and I were in Canada, we went to a church that was just being opened. It was absolutely an amazing church. It didn't look like a church. As a matter of fact, we went up and they were cleaning it because they were opening the next day. And we said, is this the Adventist church? And they said, oh, yes, this is the Adventist church. And we said, sure doesn't look like a church. And they said, no, we didn't want it to. Walked in, they had this huge gymnasium that's three quarters the size of this, all glass. And everybody in the community, all the kids in the community, are invited to come, play basketball, whatever they want to do. They've got rooms upstairs with games and things for young people. Everybody in the community is invited. They have a suite with everything, the telephone, the bathroom, the kitchen, everything, for abused women who have no place to go. They have a garage for three cars. They get cars, and then the men in the church who are mechanics fix the cars, and they give the cars to women who are single women, single mothers who don't have transportation. They every 3 months they do oil changes for single women. I mean, they do outreach, and they're not saying you have to be an Adventist. I don't care if they never become Adventists. If they find Jesus Christ, that's the whole thing. It is our relationship with him. That's what's important, and that's what I ask you to share with others. Share your relationship. Share what he has done with you. Think about your life. Don't tell me how many miracles you don't think you've had, because I'll tell you, miracles happen. Peach and I, I told you earlier what we had done as far as changing our whole ministry was concerned. Well, I've been doing this since the year 2000 on my own dime, and it got to the point where I had nothing more to sell. And I was talking to Jim Gilley, who was president at that time of ASI. And we were at ASI, and he said, he was president of 3ABN. And we were at ASI, and he said, you know, when people find out what you're doing, he said, you're going to get so much money. Why don't you come and do a show for us? And, you know, the money will just come in. I said, okay, fine. So we went back east to Illinois and did our show in September, and not a penny. Didn't get a penny. So I was praying, and I said, well, God, you know, maybe you don't want me to preach. That's okay. I don't care. I really don't care what God wants me to do as long as he uses me. Each one of us represent him. We are Christians. By the very definition, we are Christ followers. We are to follow him and to show him to other people. So in December, I get a telephone call. Is this Liz Dalwick? Yes, it is. I just saw you on 3ABN. When are you going back to India? And I said, well, I don't know right now. It's just not in the books. Financially, we can't handle it. And he said, well, figure out a budget and let me know how much you need. And I said, okay. So I started figuring it out for 3 months, how much it would cost, you know, because when you go to India, you also feed them, as you know. So it's not just, you know, transportation and your lodging, and our lodging many times consists of a pad in the back of a church on a table pumping our own water. I said, there's nothing I can do. It comes to $23,490. And he said, what's your bank? And I told him, and he said, you probably don't know how to add correctly. I'll just send you $25,000. Never seen the man. If you make yourself willing, open to God, he will provide the way. It's when we, I don't know about you, but every time I think I'm so smart, it's okay, God, I'll take care of it, you know, leave it to me. I mess up like terribly. Just be willing and open and step forward, and he'll work through you. There are miracles that happen every single day. If I have time, I'll tell you the miracle of my God house, which is a big God thing. But let us continue with what we're doing. The other one is, I had a bad experience. So I don't learn very much from my good experiences. I learn an awful lot from my bad experiences and my bad mistakes. I mean, every time I fall on my face, I go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I'm not going to do that again. But what difference does it make? Think of what God went through for you. So be willing to do it. Well, this is another one of those stones I want you to move. Oh, I'm just one insignificant little person. You know, what difference does, I mean, they're so much, let them do it. They're really good at it. I'm not so good. He's really good. Let him do it. If you had six children and one was missing, would you say, oh, that's okay, you know, just one insignificant little kid? No. Each one of us is very, very important. And each one of us has something very, very important to do. I can't bake. I just told you that before. Peach can. I don't even try. I let her. I do what I do, and she does what she does. But I try with what I do to do the best that I can. Whatever it is, I do it for his honor and glory. Then there's another one. I really don't have any money. Really? Don't you go to the store? Don't you have to go get your gas? Don't you go outside your house? I can assure you that if you do, you're going to meet someone. And that someone could be your divine appointment. Peach and I were driving, and she does the driving because I don't have a driver's license because mine was stolen the day before we left. So, plus the fact she wouldn't let me drive anyway. And we came around a corner, and she hit a rock. I'm yelling, stone, and she hit it. Big one. It not only flattened the tire, it flattened the rim, and it was raining. I got out of the car with my red coat, and I'm waving to people going by, please stop, please stop. And so this couple came by, and they stopped, and we said, you know, when you go into town, find a man to come and fix our car. So they said yes, and it was a half hour. And I said, Peach, they didn't even do it. And she said, they did. And I said, oh, I'm gonna go wave again. She said, no, they're going to. Well, this huge flatbed truck came, and it said, Me Too Towing. And I walked over and opened the door, and this big Indian is sitting in the truck. And I said, what are you doing here? He said, I came to fix your tire. And I said, you're supposed to be Chinese. It says Me Too. Anyway, he got out, and it was raining. And the car that we have is a rental, so we didn't know where the tire was, and he had to go through the book. And, you know, as he's going through the book, Peach and I start talking to him. How long have you lived here? 30 years. Oh, where are you coming from? Oh, we just came down from this academy. What's the name of the academy? Mountain View Academy. And he said, what are you doing there? Oh, we said we went to hear someone preach. And he said, oh, those are those Adventists. I know all about them. Oh, they're all a bunch of crooks, and they lie, and they cheat and steal. I wouldn't have anything to do with an Adventist. Really? We're Adventists. We spent time with him. By the time he left, he thanked us for having shown him how, he said, you're really nice people. I'm really glad we had a chance to meet. So we said thank you, and as a matter of fact, I was going to shake hands, and he says, oh, what the heck, and gives me a big hug. So anyhow, we got in the car, we started driving, and there's going click, 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 click. I said, Peach, something's happened. The car is falling apart. And she said, no, it isn't. I think it's a belt or something. So we pull over, and she starts to look. This man who was facing the other direction with his great big huge flatbed behind him makes a huge U-turn, comes back, and said, when I took the tire off, I didn't tie the wires underneath properly. I came to do it for you. Now, it didn't cost us money. I was going to say it didn't cost us any money. It didn't cost us money to get the tire fixed. But we had the opportunity in a disaster to reach out to somebody. And that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. You will find time every place and any place. There's not enough help. I'd go out and I'd do things, but, you know, I just need some help. There's plenty of help around. sometimes people want to be included. I was talking to Greg today, and he was talking about how he has his kids involved, which I think is absolutely marvelous. He has them involved back there with the soundboard. Look at these two young men. They are participating in what we are doing. We have made them part of our family, part of our group. People need that. There are people in the church who have never been asked to do anything. Ask them. Ask them. Would you mind? They may say no. But the fourth or fifth person you ask will say, gee, I'd love to. Nobody ever asked me before. So don't be afraid to. But what if I fail? So, what if you fail? If you fail, that means you won't do that the next time. I told you. I learn best from my mistakes. You know, that's the most important thing. And remember, it isn't you who's doing it. I have had pneumonia 7 times while I was out doing mission trips. In the hospital, with oxygen, taking medication, look at my watch, and it's time to preach. Crawl out of bed, crawl into my clothes. The nurses are screaming, and they're saying, what are you doing? No, I'm going to go preach. You can't, you've got to get back in bed. I've got to go preach. Climb up, get on the platform, can hardly breathe. And as soon as I start to talk, it's strong. Because it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. I only provide the body. He is the one who does it. I was told when I was in Belize one time, I would not get a single baptism. And I said, you're absolutely right. I never get baptisms. The Holy Spirit does. I never touch a life. The Holy Spirit does. If you are willing, and that's all I ask you, please be willing. I finished this morning and I said, sheep make sheep. You are the ones who can build this church. I know that you are aware of what's happening in our world today. We are moving very quickly. I am very concerned for people who do not have a strong foundation. I'm especially concerned for our young people. They don't know. They are not prepared. Many of them, someone asked one of them, or Peach asked one of them, something about Sister White, and he said, who's Sister White? I know Snow White. Who's Sister White? Are we Adventists? Don't we have something different? And don't tell me we're going to love everybody. We don't go out and love everybody. Every church goes out and loves everybody. Every church that is a Christian talks about Jesus Christ. But what do we as Adventists have? They call us a peculiar people. That is because we have something that is different from other people. We have a third angel's message. When was the last time that you really studied the third angel's message? Do you really know what it means? They're telling you, he's telling you, go out, warn people. The Sunday law is coming, and it's going to be done so cleverly. It's going to be, well, you have to work on Saturday, that's all. Come to church on Sunday. What difference does it make? It makes a lot of difference. The law says Sabbath, so that's what we have. We have to stand and be different. We have to represent Jesus Christ. And we have to understand. We have been given an understanding of Revelation and Daniel. I don't think any other church has that. We truly have an understanding of the state of the dead. We have an understanding of the sanctuary. How many, you talk about the sanctuary and people look at you with this, huh? The sanctuary is one of our gifts. We have been given gems, jewels, that we have to protect and share. Not hide it. Don't hide it in a closet. Get out and share it with people. And don't be afraid. I'm telling you. Don't worry what other people say if they tell you you're a kook, if they tell you you're a whatever. It doesn't matter. If you know who you are serving, that's what's important. Your relationship with Jesus Christ. When you get involved with, oh my goodness, you've got some sequins on, honey. Oh, it looks like you, oh yes, well you shouldn't, don't put it up here, that's a sin, dear. Don't get distracted. You know, when I was, I think I told a story at lunch. I was in Belize and I'd gotten there and there was nothing. Not one thing about a campaign coming. And so I called the pastor and the deacons and the elders and the deaconesses, and I got them all together, and I said, you have done nothing about promoting this. And they said, well, we figured you weren't going to get any baptisms anyway, and because we already had a big campaign 3 months ago, and we only got 5 or 7 people baptized, so you're not going to get any. I said, you're right. I'm not going to get any. I never get baptisms. The Holy Spirit does. I don't. So I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. You are going to go out, and you are going to bring one person to the church. You are going to introduce them to 7 people, and you are going to take them home for lunch. Incidentally, I saw in your bulletin, take someone home for lunch. Great idea. Great way to get to know people over a meal. It's relaxed. It's easy. Invite people over. Don't scare them. You know, people say, oh, you're an Adventist. Oh, you're those people that don't eat meat. Well, you don't have to serve meat. Vegetables are really good. But have people over. Be social with them. Anyway, I started the meeting on Friday night. Sabbath, I went to preach. I start up the steps, and the head elder comes over. We've got a problem. I said, what's the problem? Well, I don't know how to tell you. And I said, just tell me. Well, it's very embarrassing. I said, please, just tell me what it is. I've got to go preach. Well, it's your makeup. I said, my what? And he said, it's your makeup. The women are very upset because you're wearing makeup. I wiped my mouth, you know, I went out and I preached and I finished and I went back, went back to the hotel. Cried and prayed and cried and prayed, Lord, what do I do? I have worn makeup all my life. If I didn't wear makeup, I'd feel naked. Really? Like not wearing a pair of pants. I mean, it's just part of me. I would scare somebody without makeup. So I went down for breakfast and there was a pastor sitting there. And I said, Pastor, could I speak with you? And he said, sure. I said, I've got a problem. He said, you sure do. I said, I sure do? And he said, oh, yeah. I heard all about the whore from Babylon. Oh. I went back to my room and I said, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. I cried and prayed and prayed and cried. That night, full makeup. Before I start the meeting tonight, I want to apologize. I understand that there are those here that are upset with the fact that I wear makeup. And I'm really very sorry. But you see, God didn't bless me with beautiful brown skin and big black eyes. He gave me this white, wrinkled, gringo skin with these washed-out blue eyes. I have to do what HMS Richards said. If the barn needs painting, paint it. So I got to paint it. And if it bothers you, close your eyes because he has a message for you. I gained 10 pounds while I was there because these women kept bringing me all this food to the hotel to eat and fatten me up because they were so happy. We had so many baptisms, 94 baptisms. The head elder got baptized because he said he'd never been converted. We cannot allow makeup, jewelry. We were talking today about jewelry, these big pins that people wear. Cut them in half, stick them on your ears. It's a sin. It's not a sin, it's a distraction. If you want to wear jewelry, wear jewelry. You know, look at the person. They're a child of God and accept them. I don't care who walks through that door. I used that sentence one day in Africa, and I said, I don't care who comes through that door. They are a child of God, and I want you to love them. I don't care if a homosexual comes through the door. The pastor said, do you want me to say that? And I said, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a homosexual. He said, oh, homosexual comes through the door. And so that next night, this kid came up to me, and he said, could I talk to you? And I said, sure. And he said, I have a friend I think is a homosexual, and he really needs some help. And he starts telling me a story, which I didn't really want to hear, but, you know, he was explaining about what happened and some details I didn't want to hear. And he gets all finished, and he said, and my friend can't sleep anymore. And I said, you tell your friend that God loves him. You tell your friend that if he goes to God and says, I am sorry, please, Lord, help me to live a celibate life, God will put his arms around him. It doesn't matter. The next night he came and he said, I want to tell you something. And I said, what? And he said, last night I told you it was my friend. It was me. And last night was the first night that I've been able to sleep for 3 years because I felt that I was so dirty. He is no dirty than you or I. We have to love them. We have to love everyone. We are all cripples. We are all sinners. And the sooner we realize that we must open our arms in love to one another and help them, uplift them. And how do we do it? We do it by sharing what God has done in our lives. And that's the thing that is so important. Remember, every time, God reads my heart. And you can't ever tell how he reads another person's heart. You cannot say, oh, well, they're not going to go to heaven, and you're going to go to heaven, and you're not. We don't know. I don't know what's in your heart. I know that my heart is sinful, and I pray every day that God will change me. I want more than anything to reflect him in my life. And one day, when he comes, that's what I'll do. And in the meantime, we all have to struggle the best that we know how. Now I would like to open it for discussion. If there are some problems, some questions, some things that you have difficulty with, let's see if we can't work something out for you. Stand up. Somebody got something? Is anybody concerned about going out, reaching out, or speaking out? Is it difficult? The lady in the back, please. Honey, darling, would you go back to the lady back there? See her?
I work with children, and what would you call them? Abused children or
troubled
teens, things like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my philosophy is that, like you said, we are humans and we are based on touch. We're not allowed to touch these kids, not to give them a hug when they're upset. We can't even high five them. Mm-hmm. We can't touch them, period. And that bothers me a lot. It bothers me a lot. Mm-hmm. The only time that we can actually touch them or give them a hug, and it has to be a distant hug, is when they're leaving. And these are kids who, they need hugs.
We all do.
And I just don't know how to, I talk to them a lot, because a lot of times I work nights and they're up at night. We have a lot of good one-on-one conversations at night. But I wish we could, just give them that hug that they need. But it could cost us our job if we were to do something like that.
And now, I just don't know. Where is it that you work, dear?
We opened a new shelter downtown. It's called Creekside. And we can house up to 18 children. I'm not sure how many we have right now, but because it changes so rapidly. Over my weekend, some of them could have come or left or whatever. But the only time we're allowed to even approach that subject is when they're leaving and we can give them a little distant hug. And even then, I noticed when one of the kids was leaving and he wanted to hug me and I gave him a little hug, I noticed a lot of raised eyebrows. And I just don't understand that. I don't get it.
Now, is this something that's run by the county?
Yes.
Is there a rule here in the county that you're... Yes, dear. Honey, take this. Would you lay to this lady? No, hand it to her, dear. Thank you.
I worked with Pathfinders, and they made the rule that if we gave a hug, we had to do it across the shoulders and not face on. They also made the rule that we could not let our pathfinders walk outside until their parents came to get them. The parents had to come inside. This is a government-issued mandate.
When they're leaving.
I'm sorry, we didn't hear you.
We're allowed to give side hugs only when they're leaving, not when they're coming in. They're upset, they're crying, you know, things are going on, they had a bad visit with their parents or some silly little thing that you would think is silly, but it means a lot to them, and we're not allowed to do that.
You know, this morning I briefly touched on having read Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey. And I said that Alice Bailey was contemporary of Ellen G. White. Alice Bailey wrote the 21 books, Automatic Writing. She also developed what she called her 10-point plan, which she considered to be the highlight of her life, the most important thing that she had ever done. I must tell you, first of all, that she and her husband always had quarters within the United Nations where they had what was called the Lucifer Press, but because there was so much controversy over it, they called it now Lucius Press instead of Lucifer Press. And this is where they printed a lot of this material. Part of her 10-point program is take the children away from the parents because they are a very bad influence, which means that no hugging, kissing, anything, that all sex with anyone or anything is important, that marriage is not forever, it is a temporary thing, that the way to reach the people is through media, meaning television, art, you've seen some of the art that they have, they call art. These are the kinds of things that there are 10 of them, that she's talking about. Today, there are 32 schools throughout the world that are doing this. Robert Mueller, who was at one point one of the secretaries to the United Nations, has formed them. They're called the Robert Mueller Schools, but it's all Alice Bailey and what she is teaching. We have New Age coming into our country worldwide, I should say, at unbelievable rates. That was one of the things I said, if I'd had time today, I would have talked to you about the book I'm writing called Three Drops of Arsenic. It's coming into our church as well. Spiritualism is coming into our church big time under the guise of new way of praying. Contemplative prayer, the Jesus prayer, they use his name and it's a mantra. A mantra is where you take a word and you repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it until your mind is cleared, emptied, and the Holy Spirit, and Satan can come in and talk to you. Extremely dangerous. I heard a pastor from one of our platforms say one day, prayer is a two-way conversation, and a conversation is when I say something and you say something. But most of us pray and we say everything, and God doesn't get to say anything. So from now on, you pray to God, and then you wait 20 minutes clearing your mind so God can speak to you. I thank God that I was in New Age and learned all of the horrible things that I learned, because I can tell you, this is New Age. This is spiritualism. He talked about how he worked with young people, and he told them to sit, gave them all a piece of paper and sat with a pencil, and whatever, clear your mind, whatever you think of, just write it down. Fold up the paper and put it in a basket. They all went by, the children picked it up. One of them said, go to the park, there is a man there, he's in a yellow and black striped t-shirt, go up to him, tell him his sister who has cancer is going to be healed and not to worry about it. So they went to the park, they saw the man with the yellow and black t-shirt, went over, told him that the sister who has cancer is going to be fine. He said, oh, thank you so much. I've been so worried about her. The kids were ecstatic. God had spoken to them and given them a message. No, Satan gave it to them. You empty your mind, Satan will fill it. You have to be so firmly rooted in God, in the Bible. Test it all against the Bible. And if it doesn't match up against the Bible, throw it out. I told you about seeing stones come out of a man's eyes, about the ectoplasm. I saw it. He changed water into wine. I tasted it. It's a lie. Don't take it. We have got to be careful. Don't accept the things that are coming in. Don't be fooled by it. Please, please, please read your Bibles. Reach out and share your love with other people. Share with them what God has given to you. We have got to do it. We are the remnant. We are what's left. And we've got to do the work because so many will be lost if we don't. I don't sleep many nights because I feel like I should be out there doing something. I want to go. Do you realize all of the people that Satan has imprisoned with Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam? Or all the people who are sitting in our pews who are not convinced that they are saved? We have a great work to do. We cannot sit and hide it under a barrel. You've got to have the courage to step out. You have to, regardless of what anyone says. Honey, would you see there's a lady back there? She's got her arms up. Would you go there? Thank you, dear.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Tomorrow I have a friend and her husband are coming to visit us from California. They're both Buddhists. And I have really been praying because I care for her so much. I want her to know the truth. Mm-hmm. I want her to know Jesus. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do besides, you know, just being kind and friendly and loving and pray at the meal? What can I do for a Buddhist?
That's what you're going to do. That is what you do. Ask the Holy Spirit before you even open your mouth to put the words in. Do not preach to her. We preach too much to our kids. That's why they don't want to come to church. They see us doing things, you know. We're hypocrites. Live, walk. You know, remember I told you about my friend who the head elder took him down the center aisle? He had a young son, and I said to him, can't remember his name now, have you been baptized? Are you an Adventist? He said, no. Why should I be an Adventist? He said, there's such a bunch of sourpusses. Today, he is a pastor. His parents really prayed for him, but they never badgered him. And that's so important. You have to listen, be willing to listen to her. That's all you can really do, and love her. Show her love and kindness. And ask the Holy Spirit. And you'll be surprised. Something may come out of your mouth, and you'll think, I didn't mean to say that. But it's what should be said. And trust it. Just trust him to use you so that you will do it. And love her. Yes, dear. Honey, do you want to take one back to that man back there?
Yes. How would you reach one who is a spiritualist but has been raised in the Adventist church and thinks that Sister White was a spiritualist? How could you reach someone like that?
Wait a minute. You say you think Sister White was a spiritualist?
Mm-hmm. But the main thing is this person has been raised in our schools and is now a spiritualist. How can you reach someone like that?
I have to go back because I would not consider Sister White a spiritualist. She is spiritual, but not a spiritualist.
Well, yes, that's just one of the issues. The main issue is that she believes in Buddhism and is a spiritualist. So is this person unreachable then?
Probably for you. You can pray for her. You can pray for her. I was certainly into it. I told you what I was doing. I mean, I was up to my ears. And it was the Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit that did it. When I walked into the Adventist church, happy that I was rid of Adventism, never to hear about it again. I mean, Ron Clouzet spoke to my, well, it wasn't, Ron Clouzet was used by the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart, and I have no idea what he said. You of yourself cannot do anything. The Holy Spirit can, and I keep going back to you have to pray and be willing to be used, and that's all the advice I can give you.
A
Do you think that someone who has been into New Age can then go into spiritualism easily?
New Age is spiritualism.
It is. Yeah. Well, how do we protect people from that?
You can't. This thing about contemplative prayer that they're talking about, the emerging church, there's another thing that's called the One Project. It is very dangerous. It is very, very dangerous. They are saying that it has to do with Jesus, which, is there anyone here who does not think that Jesus is the center of all? Of course Jesus is the center of it all, but that does not mean throw out our doctrines, and that's what they're doing. But you see, they're going after the young people. That's my concern. And unfortunately, some of the leaders in our church, those with the brightest lights, are the ones who are backing this. There is a man that they are promoting called Leonard Sweet. Leonard Sweet is very big in New Age. Leonard Sweet, in 1991, wrote a book called Quantum Spirituality. Thank you, Peach, my other half. What would I do without you? Quantum Spirituality. In that, he said that he was sitting on a beach in Santa Cruz, and it was dusk, and all of a sudden he could see all of these little like bubbles, and he realized they were all God, and that God was in everything, and God was in him, and he was God. This is a man that four of our youth pastors are holding up, as well as two major, major pastors in our church are holding up as someone that they should follow. They have taken, see, what Satan does is he takes a truth and puts a drop of arsenic in it, poisons the whole thing. And that's what he does. He takes truth and poisons it. And that's what's happening in our church, and that is my concern. I am called by many people a conspiracy theorist, and you know what? I could not care less. I know that what I say is the truth, and I say it, and I do not care who believes me. I give you this information. You can believe me or not believe me. I give it to you from my heart. If you don't accept it, that's for you to decide. But contemplative prayer, absolutely, positively, if you read Thomas Merton, he will tell you. Thomas Merton was a Catholic priest. Contemplative prayer comes from the Catholics. The Desert Fathers come from the Catholics. All of these things, the Jesus Prayer comes from the Catholics, and it's coming into our church today. We are accepting and putting on the mantle of Catholicism. And if we are not careful, yes, we'll be right where they are. I'm sorry, this man is, yes.
You're really getting with it there. Thank you. I was just going to relate to the Buddhist thing. We had, before our current pastor, we had Dr. Arakaki here, and he was very sweet, sensitive, very fluent talker, just like you are, and very personable. His father as far as I know, is still a Buddhist. He came out of a Buddhist family. And so here, the potential that he developed into had that in his background. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't be diminished by something like that. Mm-mm. You're talking here about potential possibilities and which way are the possibilities going to go? Well, again, you're saying it's all up to the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And so I really appreciate the good things you're saying. I'm concerned about the One Movement, too. Brian McLaren and a lot of these people are behind that, and what they're pushing for is ecumenicalism. Mm. That's in the background.
That's right. And this whole thing, with the Pope coming now,
yeah.
It's all going to be the family, unity. You can be an Adventist if you want to. Just come to the Mother Church. Well, I cannot come to the Mother Church. I am an Adventist who is a Bible-believing woman who has Jesus Christ as her leader and not the Pope of Rome.
And you came out of Catholicism, just like Arakaki came out of Buddhism.
Yeah. No, there's so many of the Catholic priests did. There's somebody down here, honey.
Pardon?
No, I was just going to tell him that there's a man here who wants this.
She told me to go.
Oh, sorry.
John, you want to speak too? Here, honey. There.
We have been hearing about so many different things coming from the New Age movement. Mm-hmm. What about the spiritual formation?
Spiritual formation, I feel, is very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. Spiritual formation also came from the Catholics. Most of the things that we are getting in our church today is from the Catholics. It goes back to Ignatius Loyola. It goes back to, and Ignatius Loyola formed the Jesuits for one reason and one reason only. That was to destroy Protestantism and bring it back. Today, the churches are saying, oh, I'm so sorry, Luther was wrong. Oh, the Reformation was wrong. No, we all belong to the Mother Church. We do not all belong to the Mother Church. We should be hearing something about the Mark of the Beast. And this thing about Adventists don't believe that the Catholic Church is the mark of the beast, that the mark of the beast is Satan. Oh, Father, if I weren't here, I'd really tell them. The Catholic Church is the mark of the beast. And the reason that Adventism has gone around it is because they are saying, this statement came out, that Satan is the mark of the beast, not the Catholic Church, is because they came out with the book The Great Hope. Remember, it was supposed to be The Great Controversy? The Great Controversy in 93 pages? I don't think so. There's nothing in there about the Reformation. There's nothing in there about Luther or Jerome or Huss or any of the rest of them or the Mark of the Beast. That's not The Great Controversy. The Great Controversy is between good and evil, between God and Satan. That's The Great Controversy, and they cut it out. So when you cut it out, how are people going to know? So they said the reason that the church has come out with this statement is because people who are reading The Great Controversy would not think of associating the Mark of the Beast with the Catholic Church. So therefore, they didn't want to put ideas in their mind. Now, that came from a lady named Lisa Rasmussen from the GC. Yes, madam.
I won't talk very long this.
Really?
I can get wound up. I just wanted to say a few things because I've been with Liz now for about 8 years since my husband passed away. And I come with all of the old-time baggage that probably a good share of you have. My grandparents were such close friends of Sister White's that they used to take her for buggy rides in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. She used to come to their home for dinner. I went through all of our schools. I have all of the baggage that any of you that were born and raised in the denomination have, of the do's and don'ts and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I never walked away from it. I always knew that the denomination was right. I knew that we had the truth as far as living it. You know, you go along as a nominal Adventist. Since I've been with Liz, my eyes have been so opened that, you know, it's just a new world. I must say this is probably the best time of my life. And she and I are just having an absolutely marvelous time because I am really a student of hers in the respect she has lived it. We've heard about this, but not in depth. When she's talking about all of these things she's telling you right now, and with you can see and hear the fire that she has, but she's lived it. We have it, we've heard about it. Yes, we were brought up with the Mark of the Beast and 666, and yes, someday there'll be a Sunday law. It's happening now. We're seeing it as it's being fulfilled, and still most of our people are asleep. It's easier to bring in a new person than it is to get an ex-SDA back in the church. Because they're really, oh, yes, what's going to happen someday? Oh, maybe, well, you know. And what she's telling you, I'll tell you, when you are up against it and you're learning more about it and the research that she does on this, all I can say is listen to what Liz has to say, listen to what Walter Veit has to say, because he has the same background that Liz has. And they have lived it. They've walked the walk. And we can learn from it, but we need to get out and do something about it.
Thank you, Paige. Got two over here, honey.
There's one here. There's one here. Talk.
Are you ready?
Am I ready?
While that one's being ferried. We've been studying the prophecies and prophetic end time events in a Monday morning study for months, several years, in fact. And we studied the One Project, spiritual formation, all these things, so we wouldn't be deceived. And we soon realized that when we did the research on this, this Leonard Sweet is out of Fox University in Newburgh, Oregon. Mm-hmm. So it's close to home.
And so are three of the four pastors, yes, about their degrees.
Yes, we know, I've read the stories. I've read their reports. We've complained to leadership in our union. They don't see a problem. They defend them. Mm-hmm. And we feel like the devil is doing a number on us.
He is.
Is this the omega of apostasy?
I believe it is.
I do, too.
I believe it's the beginning.
And we've had several writers who had a spiritualistic background that see this from mm-hmm. that point of view, that Satan is using this. And like you say, the main target is our young people.
Yes.
They have not been raised to study the Bible for themselves and to be able to understand why we believe what we do from their own personal Bible study. Another interesting thing is the four young men you're speaking of do not hold evangelistic meetings. Mm-mm. They do not preach the three angels' messages.
No.
And I think this is one of the big dangers. It's in the church, is we've gotten away from what God started. We're a movement that's going to go through to victory, but we're going to have a lot of sifting and shaking before that time.
I asked one of our pastors, one of our major pastors, I said, why is it? I've been in the church since 92. I'm just a kid. And I have never heard a three angels message. I have never heard a sanctuary message. I had to study that myself. I have never heard any of the gifts that have been given to us. We are, there's nothing on the mark of the beast. And I said, why aren't we doing it? And he said to me, it is not politically correct. Now, since when is Christ not politically correct? You know, we've got to speak up. And as I say, you know, I don't care what somebody calls me or thinks about me. I will stand for what I believe is a truth. And we have to do it. We have to have that firm foundation to know who our God is, to know what he did for us, and to share that with other people. Yes.
I have several friends that's Sunday keepers, okay? And do you believe, or what is your take on if you don't keep all the Ten Commandments? You mentioned a while ago that you don't care where they find Jesus at. I agree with that 100%, okay? But how do I get my Sunday keeping friends to accept Saturday as a Sabbath?
I don't know. I don't know how you do it. You know, I told you I came from a Catholic background. I told you I had a brother who was a priest who has subsequently left. I have another brother who goes to church every single morning. He goes to communion and mass, and he is without a doubt one of the finest Christians I have ever known. He knows that I am a Sabbath keeper. He also thinks that I'm in a cult that stole all my money, which is not true. I pray for him every day. I have no doubt, though, that he will be in heaven. None. There will be people in heaven who have never heard of Jesus Christ. But also, we have to reach out to those that we can touch, the opportunities that we do have. That's what I'm saying. Don't pass it by. You know, every single day, someone will come into your life that needs you, whether it's a hug, a handshake, have a great day, or do you know that God loves you? And another thing I want to say, and I'm going to wind down pretty soon because it's going to be an hour and you're going to all be falling asleep. I'd like to address this thing about if God's so good, why? I hear that so often. And I hear it from Adventists as well. If God is so good, why did he allow this to happen? Well, didn't you ever read The Great Controversy? Didn't you hear about the second temptation that Jesus Christ had when Satan offered him the world? And you can't offer something you don't have. He offered him what he has. Satan owns this world. Satan is the one who can do these things. And yes, many times God could step in, but doesn't. And we'll find out someday why. But don't start blaming God for the things that are happening in your life that are not good. No, it just, you know, I just love God so much. And, you know, he is so abused, and I can't stand it. It just breaks my heart. Yes, dear. Honey, where are you? We need you.
There's two.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, he's first and then you. Oh, okay. Sorry.
So I have a question about evangelistic methods. Traditionally, what we've done is we've had meetings where we would present the truths of this message over the period of a week or weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also tried to do this also through personal evangelism and ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there's still a place for the public evangelistic series type of meetings, or do you think we should be taking a different approach?
I think that the approach that we should take is not how many people we can get wet. Our evangelistic meetings have been a numbers game most of the time. If we approach it because we want to share, that's quite different. I have no problem at all. I mean, don't go scaring me with the ghosts. I mean, with the beasts. You know, all of these scary things that they have. That's ridiculous. That was simply his symbolism for a country. So don't go giving me all of these terrible dragon things. But I think it's important that people learn, for example, to an understanding of Daniel and Revelation. That, I think, is vitally important. We must come to the time when we truly understand it. I read everything that I can from all kinds of people to understand how they are approaching Revelation. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, it's ridiculous. But I think that should be shared. I think that's very important. I think that to have meetings with people, home meetings, I think are great. We are so blessed. We have a man who does a Bible study for us every Sabbath or every Wednesday, and he brings it alive. And that's what we have to do. How does what's in the Bible apply to me? How can it change my life? It's not some dusty old book. It's very alive. It's a love letter. You know, God's trying to tell you something, and that's what I think you should share. So do I think evangelistic meetings are good? Yes, within a parameter. I do not believe in these big, you know, hoo-has where you go into a neighborhood and bring everybody in. I think our big thing is we must first work with our youth, vitally important. We must work with our people and convert them. And we must reach out to those who have known the truth and have walked away. That's a huge challenge because they are going to be judged very, very severely. Yes.
First, I want to commend you and thank you for upholding the three angels' message and spirit of prophecy. I don't think that's being done enough from the pulpit today.
I don't either, honey.
And I do listen a lot to Walter Vyth, and so I understand the message. I've heard it a lot, and I agree that the ecumenical movement is on the move and picking up momentum, and that spiritualism in all its forms, contemplative prayer and all those others that you were mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do about those things.
You're aware.
I don't know how to fight that. I don't know how to go up against it or slow it down. And I prayed about what I should do, and the Lord revealed to me that I'm not to do something that I don't know to do. I'm only supposed to be accountable and do what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, I'm I believe that the loud cry that is the last thing to happen here on earth before, seven last plagues and mm-hmm. everything else breaks loose, when the four winds are let loose, I believe that the loud cry is what we're supposed to do. And like you said before, we need to know the three angels' message, because I find it very silly for the Adventist as a movement praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and they don't know the message, because that's the purpose of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is to give the message. So if they're praying for, oh, give us this